Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells. It gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. And when I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Holy. I'm Laura Eldridge.
And I'm Nicoletta Bradley.
And today...
Here we go.
Come on now.
Buckle up.
We are joined with some really fun guests today. One of them, Grant. We'll just go ahead and say it's Grant. But I don't think I even know your last name at this moment.
Just guess. Give it a shot. I want to see what you think.
I have it in my phone. Should I look it up?
Starts with an F.
Oh shoot! I'm screwed.
It rhymes with bait.
Fate. Grant. Yeah. Fate. We're here with Grant Fate. Listen, we know each other. We go way back. And listen, it is what it is. And we are also here with someone who is known as Nicoletta's ex-boyfriend.
Yep, check my Instagram.
He's also known as other things. But for now,
I'm glad that's not my name.
Yeah, we could go through those
Do you want to do that, Rich?
Yeah. What else am I known about?
You're known for your beard, I feel.
Wow, I received that.
Your
you do
hair,
have the best fade in Dallas.
I
have
like,
heard that
feel
a couple times.
The best what?
The best fade in Dallas.
Hey, wow. My husband's is pretty.
Yeah, I'm about to say, Colby's got a nice fade.
Yeah, but you know what? In the single guy world, you might be the one.
Wow, I received that.
This is Reese Tomlin.
They're gassing me up before they tear me apart.
Yeah, you know what's coming.
I can't wait for that
part. Lamb to the slaughter.
Boy.
No, y'all, this is so fun. Nico, how you feeling?
You know, it's been a long time, Reese Tomlin.
Also, you guys, we were not joking. Like, they really actually dated.
We did.
And we had this idea. We're like, Nico, we need one of your ex-boyfriends to come on because, like, I can't do that anymore now that I'm married. So you need to take one
and
for the team.
You're the next best option.
Well, yeah, I guess I'll take that.
I said, Lord, who do I want on the podcast?
Who can I troll for a couple hours?
Yeah. Who am I still mad at?
Listen, we've already been trolling Reese. Who am I still mad at? We're going to have a counseling session. You guys need to air your grievances.
This is literally why we have Reese on. We have two people
to say,
we haven't made contact in 2 years.
Dated, and I have many stories that we can just go through a therapy session on, air all the dirty laundry out. Let's fix it right here, right now.
War stories, if you will.
Yes.
So you have some good stories from, you know, living with Reese while they dated. We were doing podcasts while you guys dated.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Wait.
The three of us did Unashamed together.
We did.
Wow, slinging the gospel together. I haven't done that together in a while.
I'm trying to think. Were you in a positive light at some point on our podcast? Probably in the beginning.
I have no idea. Maybe.
Yeah.
I was probably in a negative light too.
Tonight's all positive.
Okay.
Only encouraging words.
Okay. Outside of you getting a truck and changing to, you know, listening to country music, we're not going to like throw you under the bus too hard because these guys are here because they're actually super, super faithful. And it is a testament from God that the two of them can sit in a room. Nico, Reese,
Grant, you know, you
I was on the third wheel. So I was, like, I was a part of this relationship. I helped it build and I helped it fall.
I think I went on a date with the two of you guys. Do you guys remember? And we ate pizza. We ate the gluten-free pizza. And we also had...
I honestly went to the library.
It was in Deep Ellum.
We were in Deep Ellum. You were one of the first people to know that I was pregnant because of that date.
I do, yeah. Wow. I don't know if you actually spilled that or if you did, but...
No, I think
don't remember that. At all.
Are you serious? Wow.
She was blackout.
Wow.
Did you remember any triple dates with Grant?
Did we triple date?
The only thing that I really remember about
Grant
guys
hasn't talked to a girl in 28 years, so I don't think...
Peyton, don't listen to that.
The only thing I remember is that we rigged the pickleball thing.
We rigged it to get Nico and Reese on the same team. They destroyed the competition.
Yeah, we sandbagged
it. It was absolutely unfair. Vegas had him favored by a million. And
that's
then I remember that there was a momentary split, and then we all went to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, greatest week of our lives.
Yep.
And then you guys rekindled for a second.
It's true.
Yeah, I remember that. You know.
Did we put that on? That might have been on the podcast that I rekindled my flame.
Yes.
And then it died.
And it was a quick spark.
It was a quick spark.
And then there was a gust of wind and took it right out.
And here is the next time we're going to rekindle it. So you guys
third
get the spark
charm.
Flying. Okay, well, let's actually jump in. Should you date your ex?
Should you date your ex?
What a question to throw off the jump. I love that.
She was gonna
say it is okay to date your ex. A lot of context goes into it. How did you break up? How did you date before? What was the reason that you guys broke up? But if there was a moment where you just weren't in the right place emotionally, spiritually, it was good that the Lord separated you guys, and then a year comes back around and you're in a way better spot and you care about that person, go for it.
Yeah.
Approach it humbly. It's a hard thing to do, come back a second time, but if there's not a red flag of why you're in it the first time, go for it again.
Yeah, I would say there would have to be some big differences as far as like what changed from the first to second time, right? So like if it is one of those things where she wasn't really like walking with the Lord at that time, or he wasn't really in the right place to date, that's one thing. But I mean, if you're both walking with the Lord and there hasn't been much change there, then it's probably going to be the same outcome.
Yeah, I've seen it happen both ways. I've seen a lot of healthy relationships where the guy or the girl, somebody comes back and just humbly says, hey, I made a mistake. And I'm really, really sorry. And here's what God has done in my life. Here are the proactive steps that I've taken. And I think that is a really solid foundation for a healthy relationship, because marriage takes so much humility. You know, you're constantly having to own, getting to own, you know, where you need Jesus. And I think that I've seen those go really, really well. And then I've seen other situations where it's like you just put on rose-colored glasses and you forget all the chaos that happened in your past relationship. Yeah. Y'all's wasn't like that. Y'all dated well. Like, the two of you honored each other. I felt like you communicated well. You set a great example of what it looks like to date well and break up well.
Yeah.
So actually, talk the people through that. These are none of the questions we had planned. But
I love it. I want to dive deep.
We're just
going
to run it.
Yeah, we need to hear this. Talk to people like what it looked like on both of your ends to like date well, break up well, some of the processing, all of that.
I think for me, at least, it was like, we kind of talked about this on the phone a little bit. It really is important on how you speak about your ex after the breakup. I think it's Ephesians 4:29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth unless it benefits those that listen. And I think especially in the Christian community, like, we are in a small bubble. And if I were to say, first off, I genuinely mean this, there was not anything bad for me to say about you, Reese. Like, you dated me really well. You broke up with me really well. I tell people all the time that you would be a total guy that they should date. He's single. Anyways, but I say that in the Christian circle, if you were to say something bad about me, which I hope you didn't, but if I did, that might make other girls not want to date you afterwards. Yeah. And so it's so important to be able to, it was funny actually, I've never told you this. I will never forget, after we broke up, one of my friends spoke about you. She's like, oh, Reese is just this. And I remember going, we don't talk like that. It doesn't matter if I'm sad. We don't speak about people like that because he's my brother in Christ. And we actually got in a really big fight about it.
Wow.
Because she was like, okay, well, I'm just standing up for you. Like, don't you want me to be on your side? And I'm like, no, there's no sides to take.
Yeah.
And it was a huge moment. And she ended up coming back and being like, I'm really sorry. I was just really kind of taken aback that you stood up for your ex-boyfriend, because that's not typically what I've seen.
It's countercultural, which is everything the Bible says to be. Romans 12:10 says to outdo one another in showing honor.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a good example. Also, one thing that I just wanted to point out in your heart is that a lot of times people are like, they want to diss the guy or the girl because, one, it makes them feel better, makes them feel more powerful to be like, ugh, I never should have been in that relationship, all of that.
Screw him.
Yeah. And it makes your friends, like, it feels, it kind of connects the people who are in that circle, and you're connecting over something that's unhealthy. So there's that. But two, they're probably like, I don't want any of you guys to date them, you know? So I think that's a really, really healthy and good thing that you said, hey, if there's another girl who would be great for him, like, I'm going to choose to honor him also for that reason, you know?
Yeah. I would say to, like, add to that, if you ever want there to be potential for, like, a friendship in the future with that person, you can't be bashing them. And that's also, if you are bashing your ex, it's a red flag. It shows that there's unresolved conflict.
Yeah.
Shows there's bitterness. And so I think it goes a long way of speaking very highly of your ex and honoring him that way.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else that you saw, Grant, in them that you're like, hey, I think you guys did this really well?
I think Reese pursued and led her on a lot of creative dates up front. He took a lot of intentional time to be like, hey, what is Nico like? What are her interests? How can I schedule out all this time, my talents, my resources, to make sure I'm honoring her and doing this? And he always spoke so highly of Nico. Even, you know, Nico just said when they broke up, he spoke highly of Reese. Reese was the same way with you. When we were all Team Nico, think you're one of those godly people we know, but anytime anybody asks about it, they're like, hey, Nico's one of the coolest girls we know. Don't want to talk bad about her. Don't want to say that she did anything wrong. Cannot speak more highly of her. So just the way that he led and characterized you and up honored you when you guys were dating and like did an intentional way, I thought it was fun to watch. It was a good example for me, but speaks again to Reese's character and how he led that.
Okay, so let me ask y'all this, and anyone can answer. The two of y'all have a little bit of a different story because, one, you're both mature, godly, but you also didn't cross physical boundaries. You didn't cross any kind of weird emotional boundaries to where you're like acting like you're married or living together and kind of playing house. You guys honored God and didn't sin. And there weren't big character flaws that you saw in each other.
I mean, maybe you did. You can say them now.
I'm like, I'm not even.
It's time.
Like, wait, how much time? Time.
Here's my laundry list of all the reasons.
Okay, I got this list right here.
Yeah. Let me pull up my notes.
Pass them under the table. I'll read them. No, but I think there are a lot of people who it's like, no, I was actually really severely hurt by this person. Or I think I'm going to take it here for just a second because people are listening to this who this has been in their experience. There's been some kind of abuse. There's been manipulation. There's been physical abuse. There's been whatever. Or there's been a situation where they're like, no, I really noticed these really hard things and our lives are intertwined. And either because we crossed boundaries and our hearts went way further than they should have, or because I felt like that person was my only hope of marriage and now they're dumping me out to dry or they lied to me. You know, there's a whole list of things that can happen that just creates hardship. So what would you say to those people who have just gone through a breakup and they're like, no, I'm left with a pile of shambles because of what this guy or this girl did to me?
You want to tackle that one first? You want me to go?
Yeah, you take that one.
That's obviously a very tough situation to be in. I think one way to recover well is to try and date well. But if you are recovering from a bad breakup, one, where are you finding your security in? Like, is it in Jesus or is it in a guy?
Mm.
Is it in Jesus or is it your body? Is it in Jesus or is it your relationship status? Mm. One is a foundation and a rock that you can stay on for literally an eternity, and you're always going to be full enjoying that. The other one is going to get up and down. Even if you stay in a relationship, even if you get married, there's still going to be hardships. And so where are you finding your security? Where are you finding your identity? What was the question again? I went on a roll right there.
It's just talking to the person who's been through a bad breakup. You know what I mean? Because these two had like a really chill experience, if you will. There were hard things. Like, I know there were hard things emotionally, and y'all wrestled well. But like, some people have been like the situation was chaotic and now we're broken up and I still kind of love that person. Or right. I'm saying I feel love towards them, you know?
Let me add to that. One, God sees you. He sees you in the suffering. He sees you when you're broken. He loves you. And if you follow him, there is an absolute reason why you went through that. You might not know about that. You're kind of in the trenches right now, but he sees the whole game map. You know, he sees the whole field. He's going to bring you out to somewhere good. So, again, push into the Lord. Know that he's going to use this to sanctify and make you better for someone who's going to be his choice, not your choice. And it's tough. Find community. Find ways to bring that out of your life and bring that out of your mind. Like, it does take time to heal, but the Lord can heal and overcome. And as funny as this sounds, God is sovereign over our dating relationships. He already knows who we're going to marry. If we're going to marry, Lord willing, like, he's got you. Rest in that. Find peace in that. That's the answer.
It's good.
Yeah, I think it'd be easy to get caught up in the circumstance and the hurt of it. But I think it really goes to show of, like, hey, where do you find your identity, to what Grant was saying? And so if you trust that God is for you and has a plan for your life, then you can trust in the fact that he's going to bring you through that.
Yeah.
And I think really healthy ways to kind of get through hardships like that is, one, Galatians 6:2 talks about carrying each other's burdens. One, you bring in that to community, but ultimately you're bringing that to God.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be a time of healing. It's not something that just happens overnight.
Yeah.
But also, like, put yourself in a situation for success. You can't be hanging around that person. You can't be texting them. Like, that's not helpful. And I think that's one of the things that we did really well after we broke things off.
Not to my own horn or anything, but yeah.
Yeah.
Added to my list of the reasons
guess myself
God should
here.
Accept me. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Thing I did really well is Reese Donkelin after the breakup. I'm just magnificent.
Yeah. But... like, we ran in the same friend group, and so we, you know, we're really mindful of each other as far as, like, hey, maybe it's not the best for me to go to this group hangout because that might get us back to square one, right? And so you should be mindful of that.
That's really good. Okay, so I think a lot of people think like that, and they're scared to take the leap of dating somebody in their friend group for that reason.
Yeah.
So what would you tell the person who says, you know, I have a crush on this person in our friend group, but I'm scared to make a move because I don't want to ruin their friendship?
That is a classic.
It's classic.
Classic cop-out. But classic situation.
It is a little bit of a cop out. Oh, yeah. I love this. Come on.
It's a little bit of a cop out. But I would say this. Why else do you have friend groups?
Yeah.
Like, here in 30, 40, 50 years, all your friends of the opposite sex are going to be gone. Mm-hmm. You're going to have, Lord willing, one wife or one husband, whatever it is, and everybody else is going to be gone. So the purpose of these friendships and these friend groups here around church and community is to find somebody to settle down with.
It's not the ultimate purpose.
You love and serve one and honor one another, but, like, what a great way to find somebody to settle down with.
What a great way.
So we can talk about how to do that. Like, there are some do's and don'ts of how to let someone know that you like them in your friend group so you don't ruin things, but go for it, man. Like, take your shot.
It's so good. Come on. Literally, I always say ruin the friendship. Like, it's fine. You're exactly right. You know what I mean?
It's going to be ruined if they find someone else, or it's going to be ruined by you making a move. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or it's going to be ruined by time. You're not destined to be best friends with them for 80 years.
It's
going to extinguish at some point.
Yeah, we're not designed to be best friends with the opposite sex. Like, you eventually are going to have to settle down and choose somebody. And so it's just going to change the dynamic of that friend group.
I hung out with a guy the other day one-on-one, and it was kind of like a That's a Raven moment of, like, what are we doing? Like, I don't hang out with boys one-on-one. It was, like, the weirdest thing. And afterwards, I went home to my roommates. I was like, is this okay to, like, have a friend? You know, like, I don't really know what to do.
Okay, Nico, that happened with me and Colby without really realizing, because neither of us did that either. And then we look back and we're like, wait a second. We would have these, like, one-on-one conversations that were, like, kind of deep.
It's kind of weird.
Okay, so you had it with somebody.
Yeah, I hated it. Because I was like, what are we doing? This can't be, like, this isn't real. Like,
what's your instant reaction to Nico hanging out one-on-one with another guy?
how does that make you feel?
Hey, she can do what she wants, you know.
I'm a free lady.
All right, tell us the real answer later.
Okay, but no, for real, what would you say to that? Of, like, I know that both of you guys you have a ton of friends that are girls. Reese, speak to that. I know you have a ton of girlfriends that are girls. What would you say to maybe a girl that is interested in a guy, but they're good friends, they don't want to mess up the friendship, they're kind of scared of rejection? What would you say?
Yeah, that's a great question. One, I think to the point of, hey, you're not designed to be friends with the opposite sex for as long as you want to, right? So you'll eventually have to settle down. You'll have to choose somebody. And God's design for marriage is for you to ultimately choose someone. And so with that, I think there's certain things you can do to, like, show interest, right? So if you're in the same friend group, you can leverage other friends as far as, like, getting group hangouts together, right? Now, as far as, like, when you get together, if you want to seek that person out individually, like, that that's a really like telltale sign of like, oh, this person might be interested in me.
Like, go sit beside him, talk to him a little bit longer than you're talking to other people.
Head his hands that sit next to you. Yeah.
Did that happen with y'all?
Move.
Hey, move it. Move it, Sonny. But if you want to be like more forward, this is more forward way of doing it, of like texting them individually, inviting them to things individually. Those are obviously going to be a little bit more forward, but you can leverage
two group things still you're talking about.
Two group things.
But you're not just texting in the group like a general, hey, everyone, come out. Because I think a lot of girls will think like, I dropped a hint, I included him in this massive group text. And it's like, no, girl, no, you didn't. That is that is not dropping a hint. He thinks he's the same as, you know, Joe and whoever the other guys are in the text. But if you side texted him.
Yeah, if you side text him, that's obviously more
and he
forward.
Knows, and he knows.
But if you do, you know, to your point, use the group message tactic and you have your friend like put something in the group message or you put something in the group message to bring people together, what you'd have to do at that point is like to seek them out in person, right? And so I think that's a really easy way to say like, oh, this girl's interested in me.
Okay, but what if the guy's oblivious?
Guys are idiots.
We
are. That is true.
We take a long time to figure out if we like somebody. When we do, we need another 3 months to assess, is this the right person?
Do you think all guys do that?
I think most guys do.
And that's the
advantage. That's most of the advantage that guys have versus girls. Is I would say most get to see a guy or the girl on the sideline and be like, hey, you know, I just met her. Who are her friends? Where does she go to church? Where does she serve? Like, let's talk to her a little bit, hang out in friend groups. They have months and months to figure out if they want to date this person or not. And then when they ask the girls out, the girls are caught off guard and they're like, hey, he just asked me out. I don't know anything about you. So they kind of already have the chess being played on their end and the girls don't. So it gives them a massive advantage.
Okay, I think when they do it well, they're caught off guard. When the guy does it well. But a lot of times, the guy will kind of dip his toe in the water and see, do we have good chemistry? And he'll flirt and she'll feel led on when the whole while, like, he likes her and he's trying to see if he wants to ask her out. And she's over here like, you're already acting like we're dating. This is going to happen. And then he never asks her out. But I think sometimes it can make the girl feel like, this is a performance. You know what I mean? If I make a wrong move, if I say the wrong thing, I'm going to ruin my chances of this guy asking me out.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that from the girl's end?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Again, I go to God's sovereignty. You're not going to mess up his plan, his will, his person for you. I'll go back to Reese's point on the whole dating in a crew, like getting a group text, getting group hangouts. That is an awesome way to get like yourself in front of someone that you might like. You get a line of a small intimate group, 6 to 8 people. You get a show. You get to serve. You get to be yourself and have fun in a low pressure situation. And it's kind of like the movie Inception, right? You're not telling him like what to think, but you're kind of putting yourself out there for him to form his own thought of like, hey, she's kind of cool. She's kind of cute. Well, she's good at spicy uno. Like, I might want to ask her out. I don't know.
Spicy uno.
I think that like to that point, if you're going to set somebody up, don't. Like, play it in a way that that's going to almost be like a surprise, right? So, like, if I say, hey, Grant's interested in this one girl, and then I go to that girl, like, hey, Grant's interested in you, at that point, it's like performance. It's like, how can I perform this person?
I mean, that's how I met Reese.
We'll see how that worked
origin
out.
Origin story. Bom, bom, bom. I want to hear that origin story real quick. We get a 3-second skinny.
Long story short, Cheska invited me to church, Cheska. And she's like, you can sit with me. And I was like, all right. So then I show up, and then all of a sudden I'm walking out, and like, swing, I see this boy now, like, talking to me, like, hey, what's your name? And I was like, hello. Like, and he goes, it's my birthday. You should come. And I was like, oh, I literally have no idea who you are.
The classic invite to the birthday.
Until oldest time,
and then I threw a perfect spiral in football, and it was
oh, wow.
Not but you can, kind of scheme, you can kind of scheme from afar and be like, man, I think these two people work out well together. I'm going to put them in the same room and see what happens.
Yeah, 100%. Here's where people go wrong. People go wrong in telling the girl because it's like, what's she going to do about it?
Yeah,
you know?
Can't do it. Yeah.
Tell the guy. Like, you can plant seeds in the guy's ear. Like, hey, what about this girl? I know some guys who get weird about that who are like, oh, no, it has to be my idea. You know what I mean? Like, any girl you tell me is like automatically a no. That's not most guys, though. I feel like most guys, if I came to one of you guys, Grant, you have a girlfriend, so not you, but Reese, if I'm like, hey, I got a girl for you. Like, do you know this girl?
Yeah.
You'd like consider. You'd be like, huh.
Okay, that's a good question. That is something I'm wondering is if you hear somebody's interested, does that make you more likely to ask them out?
Or less likely.
Like, think about it. Let's say I have Sarah. We don't even know Sarah. Hey, Reese, what do you think of Sarah? Oh, she mentioned that she thought you were cute. What do you do with that?
I would say it'd give you more confidence in which way you're already leaning. If you're already like, oh, that girl is pretty cute, and as someone tells me like, oh, she's interested, I'm like, oh, I'm seeing
it. Oh, this on.
It's time.
But, you know, if someone comes to me and be like, hey, that girl's interested, and I wasn't interested to begin with, I'd be like, ah, it's not for me, dog.
You'd probably be avoiding her. Would you like act weird towards her then?
I hope not.
This is. No, that's a really good point. I have never really thought about it that way, because it's really just like, it gives you more confidence in whichever way you're already leaning.
Yeah.
That's really good.
But then on the other side, I feel like at least with girls, they're very much like, oh, like maybe. And maybe it's because girls aren't getting asked out as much. So maybe if someone does express interest, they're more likely to maybe give it a shot. Would you agree with that?
I think girls have a lot of underlying emotional stuff there. And I think one thing happens where it's like, we immediately try to self-protect and say like, ew, no, for here or these reasons, you know? And it's like, okay, you're really just trying to self-protect because you've been hurt and you're scared that you'd be rejected by that guy too.
See, or it's kind of like, what if that's my only shot of getting married?
Exactly. Or it's the other extreme where it's like, now you know exactly what your kids' names would be. You already have picked out your sister-in-law's dress, and you've planned the first time that y'all are going to hang out as a family. You know what I mean? At his lake house in Connecticut. If you think about even just biblical times, like guys and girls got married a lot earlier. And I think there is hurt that we get to process through and heal through the longer we wait. And keep your heart tender. guarding your heart is keeping it tender. It's not building a wall up. It's not saying that you're wrong for wanting marriage. It's not just telling yourself not to like people. It's being okay with getting hurt and trusting that God's got you and protecting yourself from jumping way ahead in the future. But anyways, I just want to say I'm sorry to those girls for a second. But I think with girls, it's a little more emotionally charged. You know what I mean? Because we feel a little bit less powerful, you know?
Yeah.
Well, like, it's super vulnerable.
It's very vulnerable. Yeah. And I feel like it's vulnerable for guys too, you know? Do y'all ever feel like you have too much power?
Too much power,
like in the relationship.
Don't answer this incorrectly. This could be taken the wrong way.
Like, I was literally processing this today. I'll be raw for a second. I was processing this today. Like, I feel like Colby and I, I'm like, we have too much power with when we can decide to try to have kids again. Like, it feels too like I have too much of the decision, which I know God is in control. But it feels like, oh my gosh, what if I make the wrong decision? We try when a rotten egg drops or whatever, you know? So like, guys have the power to like ask girls out, and you know, you're ultimately going to be leading the families. Do you feel that pressure of like, I don't want to leave destruction, I don't want to hurt someone? Like, what happens there in your heads?
To quote Spider-Man, the old great quote, with great power comes great responsibility, right? I think the power can be abused. I think you do see that in this world, and I think you see that a little bit in Christian dating, where if some guy thinks he's all that, he can flirt with XYZ girl, you know, for months and months on end. He feels that emotional capacity, but he actually doesn't make a commitment. So the power can be abused, that we have all the decisions and all the action to take, but I think the power can be transferred to the girl in a way that helps lead a relationship in a really healthy way. What that looks like is, hey, I asked you on a date, they said yes. Now I want your input on like how I lead this relationship, where we go, like what can I do to serve you best? And so men have this fire in their hands. Are they going to use it for good, or are they going to use it for bad? Ladies, find someone who's going to use it for good. They're easy to spot, and they are out there, but it's tricky. You have to be able to decipher that. It can be used for good or for bad, no doubt.
I mean, you have the power to initiate, right? Initiate by asking someone out, but at the same time, like, they might say no. They might be dating somebody. And so, like, I think there's power in the sense of initiating as a man, but I think the pressure that we kind of feel is more of being provider and thinking futuristic of like, how am I going to provide for this person?
Yeah.
Financially, you know, as far as like having a good job, good career, whatever it may be. I feel like that's kind of the pressure that, you know, man.
So somebody asked me this week. He said, you know, I really like this girl. I've been kind of observing her. We've connected a little bit, but I also really want to focus on my career. Should I wait to ask her out? I answered him, but you know, what would you say?
I would say, you know, you're kind of prioritizing your career and your money over anything else, which God will provide if you're being faithful to him. And, you know, if you trust in the fact that like, hey, I'm going to be diligent in my work, then you're going to provide for your family one day. And so I think I wouldn't prioritize career over dating. I mean, you see guys that do that and they get in their mid-30s and they're like, wow, I'm still single because I've made a ton of money, but I'm finally realizing I have no one to share it with. And so I think there's wisdom in not prioritizing career over dating.
I'll add to that. If it's not career, it's going to be something else.
Yeah.
They're going to say the season's too busy. It's football season. It's my career. It's my family.
it's my emotions. Season.
I mean, seriously, boomer sooner, baby. Shout out. Guys will use whatever excuse in that instance to not initiate and not ask someone out because there is a fear of rejection there. And so I would encourage him. I don't know the context, but if you find somebody that you like, they are a godly woman, you're in a great place to date, always send it. At the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, you just got to know somebody who you're going to spend an eternity with a little bit better. That is worst case. Best case is you might find your boo thing. You might find a little honey for cuffing season. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so then why do you think that more and more people are single?
Honestly, I'd probably say that people are, we live in a culture where there's so many options, right? So you have Instagram, you have dating apps, which you can essentially get on a dating app and you can pick and choose what you want a spouse. And you can spend all day swiping through 100 people, which, you know, that's a little aggressive, and see...
But possible,
if you're just a dog.
Well, literally if you're on Tinder. Your couch.
Greece. Whoa.
I mean, Tinder.
Haven't been there yet. So as far as with, you know, this culture, you have so many options, and so you can get paralyzed by like, well, there might be something better out there. And so I think in our culture today, it's easy to keep going down that train of thought of like, man, I think I might find something better. And so you keep on putting something off, and then you never settle down.
What do you think that stems from?
Pride.
Pride?
I think it stems from a lot of pride.
You think it's because they think they deserve the best? More? Or is it because, no, deep down they're like not actually ready to get married?
Or they think they're so great, like I'm the best, so I deserve the best.
I think all those are slices to the bigger piece of the pie. I think there's a lot of factors that go into it, but like Reese said, I think this is the first generation that's grown up in a culture of such connectivity and optionality. Mm. And there's paralysis by analysis. You have the guys who think they're so great and so prideful where all these women are wanting to hang out with them and show them attention. And they're like, hey, I got all these girls talking to me, flirting with me. I don't need to fill up my emotional capacity with an actual dating relationship. I can just keep doing this for as long as I want, but you have all these girls chasing them. And you have all the guys below them seeing this, becoming insecure, and when they do ask these girls out, they're like, I don't know, I kind of like flirting with this guy a little bit better. You might be golly, yeah, you might be ready to commit, but I'm kind of chasing this right now. And so
you just covered a lot that
I did
happens.
I did. We could really dive in, but I'll just say this: we are at a disadvantage in the culture that we're in today. This connectivity that we have, this access to people and to images and to videos and seeing the Instagram, oh my gosh, the relationship's so good, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful, he's got it going on, he's good looking, he's smart, he's making all this money. It builds a facade of a person that we want to have, and then when we don't find that person, we're disappointed. Yeah. And that person that we might see is a great godly man or woman that could be a great spouse. And so I think what is important to combat that is, again, the ABC, baby, like reading your Bible, praying, finding community, like help community root out these unrealistic expectations. And as your heart transforms more to be with the Lord's heart, like you will see the beauty in somebody that's not superficial and something that's not built up by our culture.
What's crazy is like, even just what you explained, there's so many social dynamics just packed into that where there's jealousy. There's like, I want the best. And I think girls really do. This is another thing, like recently I answered with someone, girls really do. They need to stay open. If there's a guy that they have a crush on and they're like throwing themselves at that guy, he's not reciprocating. They need to stay open to other guys asking them out.
Yeah. 100%.
Don't you agree?
100%.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Okay, so last thing I want to touch on what you said, which I'm like, there was so much gold in that, ladies. Go back and listen to it on like 0.5. Is that, okay, if she's flirting, if girls are like throwing themselves at someone, it just gives off this desperate girl energy. And it honestly, it kind of is like laying your dignity on the floor. And then you feel rejected. You feel heartbroken. You feel embarrassed and ashamed sometimes, but you don't really know how to stop it. So what would you say to the girl who's like, okay, I think I've been a little bit too much towards this guy and like I've been a little bit too forward. And he's not like He's not pursuing me, but he kind of acts interested sometimes.
That's a great question. I could take this two ways. Reese, do you have any immediate thoughts? Because I can roll on this for a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, at the end of the day, it is on the role of the guy to initiate. And so, you know, guys want to lead. And
yes, baby.
And if he's not willing to lead, then he may not be worth following. And so that would be my two cents in answer to that.
Real quick, I'm going to add to that. Men want to lead. Boys want to take. Boys want to play games. Yeah. Men want to lead.
Oh, that's the whole episode.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
That is so good.
Okay, so what were you going to say, Grant? You can take it home.
Real quick, just repeat the question again. I want to dial in. I want to make sure I was back to my thought train. Come
Grant,
on.
Grant, I'm going to write it to you and send it under the table. No, what was the question? Oh, it was basically like, what do you do after you've basically given your heart away a little bit too quickly to a guy and he is like kind of showing interest, but maybe he's yo-yoing and now you feel a little bit embarrassed, like maybe I've been too much. You know, am I trying to take control? Right. What would you say to that girl? You said you could take this two ways.
If that's going on and that's a pattern for, say, 3, 4, 5 weeks or even a couple months where you're flirting back and forth, you're throwing them vibes, they're throwing you vibes back, and they're not actually initiating to ask you on a date, that is when it is okay to go up and talk to him and be like, hey, we've been flirting. My community affirms this. You haven't asked me out yet. You know, I want to say this in a loving way, but like, what's going on here? I don't want to waste my emotions. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste your emotions or your time. So, ladies, in that instance, it is okay to be aggressive.
Yes.
Now, on the flip side, if they're not showing that much interest back, maybe a little bit here and there, and you feel like you're kind of overextending yourself, maybe just take a step back. Maybe kind of reel back into your community, find some new friend groups to hang out with, kind of cleanse your mind, cleanse your soul a little bit, and just get healthy again in that spot. And then he might see you kind of go away and be like, oh, what? Shoot, I missed her. I actually think I like her. I kind of want to ask her out. Or again, you just open yourself up to somebody that God actually has for you.
Wow. This is good, y'all. We're going to have to stop it here. And girls, just go back and listen again. It's really, really good. I think y'all just unpacked a lot of what's happening. I think in some ways, hearing guys say this can be really healing to some of the hurt that they've experienced. It can be really clarifying to some of the things that are going on. This whole dating world is just weird.
It's hard.
It's way harder than it needs to be.
It's
savage out there.
Yeah, it's savage out there. Stay safe. Stay warm.
But for real, y'all are awesome.
Keep your head on a swivel, ladies. You're doing great.
Yeah, y'all are awesome. We are going to end this episode, but we're going to come back with another one.
I know. You'll see these guys again soon. Okay, thank y'all so much. See y'all soon.
Bye.